My name is Jay Schmelzer. I'm a director of program management, responsible for the Common Language Runtime, .NET Framework, and the managed programming languages here at Microsoft. And I'm really honored to have the opportunity to kind of kick off these 2 days with you by talking a little bit about what we hear from you, the .NET developer, how we apply that to the way we think about the product, and also just sort of starting out with a little bit about what the universe looks like for the .NET developer today. It truly is a very exciting time to be a .NET developer. When you think about the opportunity we have as .NET developers for the reach that our solutions can have, it's truly amazing. Today, we have over 1.8 billion machines that are actively taking updates to the .NET framework and staying current. This is all via the Windows update mechanism, so users really don't have to do anything. Their machines are always up to date. That's a huge opportunity for an addressable set of machines that your software can target. But it goes beyond that. When you think about the breadth of the solutions that you can develop with .NET and the types of devices that you can deploy those solutions to, ranging from 64K embedded systems all the way up to massively scalable hardware for huge cloud compute with, you know, beyond 64-way server type machines. That is just a broad set of stuff that you're able to do and a broad set of impact you can have through your solutions. And of course, the developer community is big. We have over 6 million professional developers that use .NET as part of their daily work and building their solutions for their organizations. That's just professional developers. It doesn't include hobbyists and people that are using and doing development outside of their current and core work experience that are also using .NET. That's a huge community to engage with, a huge community to be there and to be a support system for all of us as .NET developers. One of the things that we've had the opportunity to do a lot over the last few years is go out and have conversations with our .NET developers and with folks using .NET. And we hear a consistent set of things from everyone as we talk to them. First, the idea that every business is realizing and continuing to realize the role that software plays in their success. It is just not conceivable to think of a business that can be successful without relying on software as a core part of their enablement. This is great for developers. It means that we are becoming a more important and integral part of every business and any business that we would work with. It also means that we're being asked to really go and drive a level of innovation in the software that we create to capitalize on unique market opportunities, unique business opportunities, or realize some strategic advantages for the organization. And to do that, we need to be able to react quickly to those opportunities. Increasingly, those opportunities are showing up in the world of devices. And because of the proliferation of different devices and different form factors, that means developers are being asked to go and create solutions that can work across multiple different device form factors and device types. And of course, to meet these needs, every organization is realizing the important role that open source and open source software continues to play in those development tool sets and in those development approaches. That is an important part. That is where a lot of rapid innovation can happen and does happen, and we need to think about how we embrace that innovation cycle as part of our development experience. But of course, it's not all about the new things and the new opportunities. We know there's a lot of existing software out there that you've developed that runs your business day to day today, and you need to continue maintain, support, and in a lot of cases, enhance and modernize that software. So that's an important component as well. These are the things that are driving the way we think about .NET and the things that we'll be talking about over the next 2 days that we're investing in to help you address these core themes in your everyday developer experience. So bringing it a little bit more, how do those themes, how does that relate to the kinds of things that we think about and the way we approach developing and building .NET today and going forward? Well, obviously, the rapidly changing requirements, the need to address those things in quick time means we need to be able to go and continue to innovate and innovate in the places where you need to, whether that be in terms of devices or services that power those device experiences. You need the flexibility. You need to be able to go and respond quickly, and we need to be able to respond quickly to changing needs in the software landscape, the software environment. We're investing in continuing to modularize the way we think about .NET and the way we deliver it, allowing you to go and compose in the experiences and the capabilities and the frameworks and tools you need into your experience. And of course, embracing openness, embracing open source, being very transparent about how we are developing in our plans and embracing that open source community and leveraging what we are doing internally with what's being going on outside in the world. Another way we think about this is really thinking about that entire tool chain across the platforms that you target, the frameworks that you build upon, and the tools that you use, and ensuring that across that entire set of things, we're being open and increasingly open about the way we work and increasingly interoperable so that you, as application developers, can interchange the components you need to. If you need to target iOS, great. You can pull in that platform, you can pull in those core frameworks, but hopefully still leverage a lot of our tool set as part of that. If you work with a different tool chain as part of your application lifecycle experience, great. Making sure that Visual Studio, TFS, and Visual Studio Online can work with and interoperate with all of those different systems is a core part of what's driving our overall approach to development going forward. But this is the .NET Conf. Let's talk a little bit more and drill into really how we think about .NET and the future of .NET. These are the things that we'll be talking about in detail over the next 2 days. I just want to give you a bit of a landscape of how we think about these things together and what's motivating our design approach. So when we think about the next version of .NET, we start thinking about it in terms of specific types of applications and application patterns that our customers, the developers, are developing. The first being thinking about client apps and the need to target a set of devices. And of course, the second big category would be web and services. Web is still a very popular medium for building software and engaging with our customers through web-based applications, but also the services that exist and are being developed to both power those web experiences, but also the client experiences going forward. We then think about our investments across .NET in a series of kind of layers. The first is really looking at what are the multi-purpose frameworks and components we have to build upon. Across the client, those are things like WPF, Windows Forms, looking at the Windows Store for our platform as a way and mechanism for distributing your applications both publicly and internally. On the web, we'll be talking about ASP.NET, vNext, investments there across the full stack, you know, next versions of MVC, specific things around Web API and SignalR and so forth. Then we start thinking about a specialization layer, really optimizing for a set of experiences that you want to target. In the client space, that's really thinking about optimizing for device apps. So a couple things that we'll talk about in depth over the next 2 days is the introduction of native compilation for .NET, starting with Windows Store apps. Looking at how we can go and continue to decrease the footprint of .NET for those apps and enabling better side-by-side support so that you, as the application developer, can take advantage of the latest things you need to be productive in building your application without risking or jeopardizing the compatibility of other applications on that device. And of course, embracing cross-platform development through our partnership with Xamarin, enabling you to take your C# and .NET skills and apply them to building native iOS and Android device applications. In the web and the services space, we're thinking about the idea of really cloud optimizing our set of experiences. Here, it's kind of the opposite of what we think about for devices. Where devices are thinking about small footprint, we think about high throughput in terms of these cloud scale solutions. So really ensuring fast uptime for your sites, fast first response from requests, high scale through a set of requests in your solution. Still thinking about small footprint from the standpoint of ensuring that you're only pulling into your application the components of the framework that you need, really increasing the density for our hosting partners, whether that be public hosters or the Windows Azure public cloud, as well as on-premise, really allowing you to pack more sites into a scarce set of resources. And of course, also thinking about cross-platform enablement there, allowing you to build these applications in whatever environments you need while still leveraging your C# and .NET skills. All of this builds on a set of core investments that we make down in the common experience across all of them. They start with a set of investments in the runtime. So these are things like our next generation JIT compiler that increases both the throughput of the compilation, but also the quality of the code that comes out of the other end. So increasing the performance of your application, as well as allowing us to create the next generation of experiences that you're asking for in this runtime layer through things such as support for SIMD. We also think about the compilers themselves as part of these core level of investments. The .NET compiler platform, affectionately referred to as the Roslyn project, is an investment we're making in really just increasing the productivity of all .NET developers. Sure, there's an aspect that's fun for us as language designers to be able to say that our compilers build our compilers, but that's not really the main motivation here. The motivation is really allowing us a great platform where we and our tools partners and you can build better experiences for developers. This comes from making it easier for us to introduce new innovations in the language, to really ease the the developer experience, reduce the amount of time you're spending writing kind of monotonous code and let the compiler do more work for you, but also extending that beyond and really opening up that black box that was the compiler and sharing that rich, intimate knowledge that the compiler has of your application and your source code out to a set of tooling experiences. Some of those will come within Visual Studio itself, the introduction of great new refactoring capabilities in future versions of Visual Studio, as well as code fix capabilities that give you inline notification of problems, but also previews of the kinds of fixes that you can apply right to your code within the editor, as well as exposing these to framework developers themselves, allowing what we think of as kind of code-aware frameworks to exist. The idea that as a framework developer, you can introduce guidance into your framework package that can light up in the tools so that as developers are using your framework, using your APIs, you can provide guidance for best practices for how to use the API, as well as detect anti-patterns, things that you would encourage developers not to do as part of that, and provide that same, hook into that same auto-fix capability. So you can provide previews of those fixes out to the developers right within the development environment, and then extending even beyond that into things like code analysis and stuff like that, going beyond the capabilities of static code analysis into rich compiler knowledge of that and identifying problems, identifying fixes that need to be applied and so forth. Of course, this also extends out into the framework libraries themselves, looking at core libraries that are very common, like the Entity Framework and advancements we'll be making there, as well as into just the base class libraries and extending the set of base class libraries that are capable of running in a portable environment. So creating a broader set of portable class libraries for you to take advantage of, whether you're building web and service applications, device applications running on Windows devices, or cross-device applications on iOS or Android. And of course, running across all of this is that constant theme of increasing our openness. Back at Build, we announced the formation of the .NET Foundation. We've been extremely happy and extremely excited to see the response that we've gotten from the open source .NET community. We have upwards of 40 projects, existing open source projects that have contacted us interested in being part of the foundation. We have over 60 individual developers that are interested in joining the foundation and being part of contributing to these existing or new open source projects. And it's an exciting time for that. We're in the process of continuing to go and work our way through onboarding additional projects and enabling that ecosystem really start taking off around open source development and .NET. So what does that really mean? Well, if you sum it up, there are a number of things that we've been hearing from developers for the last 10 years of .NET, and I think we're really on the edge of beginning to deliver on those. Some of them we have, and some of them we will be just continuing to deliver on before. You wanted native compilation, you've got it. You wanted more open source engagement and openness around the framework and what we're doing, you've got it. And you wanted the ability to take your existing .NET skills, C# and .NET, and use them to apply to building cross-platform devices beyond just Windows, whether that be in a server environment in Linux or in device environments like iOS and Android, and you've got it. These are the places we're investing. These are the things we'll be talking about over the next 2 days, and we're really excited that you've taken time out of your very busy schedules to spend it with us and engage in this conversation. Again, this conference, it's new. It's new for us. It's unique. It is a virtual community event. This is only going to be as good as you make it. It's your event, it's your conference. Encourage you to get out there, engage, interact with the presenters, ask your questions, and make this the best use of 2 days you possibly can. With that, I thank you for your time, and we'll get on with the next level of content. Next up, after a short break, will be Andrew, and he'll dive into some of those details around the improvements we're making in the .NET runtime. Thank you very much.